All right, welcome everyone. This is Dr. Mike Reed from Chiropractic Masters International, and I have a very special guest on with me tonight, and that is the rock star CA trainer, Kim Gorham. So, Kim, I want to welcome you to tonight's call.
Hi, doctors and CAs. I'm really happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
Okay, now, the first rule on this call is you have to call me Dr. Mike, because Dr. Reed, that makes me sound so old, Kim. And, you know, I'm just at the pinnacle of what I'm doing. I'm just rocking and loving chiropractic. So, Dr. Reed, you have to wait till I'm like 85 and I have a wheelchair rocker or something like that. But now it's Dr. Mike. Dr. Mike works. So, Kim, I'm so excited to have you on. I mean, you and I have spoken on the Parker stages in the past, and you've been at my events speaking, and people absolutely love you because one thing that you have this energy that you exude, and I can't emphasize enough. If I had, like, four of you in my practice, I'd be seeing 1,000 a week. So let's just talk about, I want you first of all just to open it up, who you are, what you do. And for the doctors who are on the call, we do have some goodies for you at the end. Kim's going to open up her bag of fun and let you have some goodies on her website. But Kim, let's just have you introduce yourself first.
Okay. Well, I've been in chiropractic since 1992. I was a miracle patient. I was in a terrible car accident when I was 6 months pregnant with my daughter. And it was 7 times in and out of the emergency room trying to get the labor to stop. And the contractions kept getting worse and worse. And I was like Humpty Dumpty, and my body was so broken. Just by chance, I went to go see a chiropractor. I was looking in the yellow pages. This is back before the internet. Talk about feeling old. And just by chance, I found a great chiropractor who educated me about the benefits of chiropractic care. And better yet, he showed me firsthand that it worked. And I was amazed. I was amazed because if you can imagine going through the medical profession with so many questions and being so fearful, and I was losing my daughter. I mean, I was 6 months pregnant at the time, and they had given her a 50-50 chance of survival. So it was pretty dire. It was pretty dire.
Wow.
Yep.
And then what happened from there? How did you evolve into who you are now?
Well, what happened was I became a massage therapist and then a chiropractic assistant, and then I graduated to an office manager. And I kept working my way up the very short chiropractic ladder within the corporation. And I was very soon at the top. And what brought me to the top was my love and enthusiasm for chiropractic. What would happen as a massage therapist, I would be in the massage room working on someone who had been in a car accident. And they had 3 other family members in the waiting room not getting checked. And so I used the time in the massage room to say, hey, you know, wow, everybody in your family has a spine, right? How come they're not getting treatment too? So very quickly, referrals were just exploding within the practice. And very soon, the chiropractor that I worked for, his friends would call and say, hey, you know, we know it's you. What are you doing here? Why is this practice exploding now when it hasn't for 20 years? So that's how I became a consultant, if you will, as a massage therapist and an office manager. People would call me and ask me, how are you doing this? So very quickly, my background in school, I studied the psychology of sales, marketing, and business management. So that's my forte. And after I became a chiropractic miracle, I put together my education with my passion, and it's been a learning process ever since. So to date, we've brought in over 1,150,000 new patients in to see a chiropractor in the United States.
That's so awesome. And, you know, you're still rocking it. And, you know, it's funny. It sounds like you and I came from the same sort of school of thought, business, marketing, and love of chiropractic and wellness, and merging those together. And it really is, with psychology, a formula for success in a chiropractic business. Now, you know, one of the things that, Kim, you've talked about is inspiration and really about inspiring, you know, your patients to want to be there. So this call is really yours, but I just wanted to get a feel with regard to when you walk into an office and you see this common pattern, I'm sure you do, that there's this common pattern in a lot of chiropractic clinics where they get into a very clinical approach, the patients check in, they check out, there's not a lot of education. What's one of the first things that you've seen that you do to start changing and shifting both the mindset of the patient and the sort of, I guess you could say, the rut that a lot of clinics can get into to shift it so there's a spark of energy, there's a sea of inspiration in the practice?
Well, I think the first thing that I look for is processes and procedures. You know, we are only as strong as our weakest player, right? And marketing is a relay race throughout the practice. So the baton is passed from the CA to the office manager to the back office CA to the chiropractor, back to the back office CA, back to the front office CA, and then the patient is out the door. So the relay process has to be smooth. And we need to remember, I think another really big point is that selling is a process. It's not an event. And I'm going to say that again. The sale of chiropractic is a process. It's not a one-time event. And if you can imagine the chiropractor or the CA or the office manager or the financial CA at one end of a race. So they're at the finish line. You know, we want them to close the deal. We want to get that yes. So we're all the way at the finish line. And the patient, the prospect, is at the starting line. And they don't know anything. They don't know what they're supposed to do to walk this race to the finish line, which is the finish line is the concept of understanding the value of chiropractic and putting it together with the need and understanding the value and saying yes. That's the finish. That's what we're trying to do. That's when patients sign up for the care plan and accept treatment and all that goes with it. So that's where the frustration comes in when the CA or the office manager gets a command from the chiropractor. Okay, we want to have 25 new patient referrals this month. Go. And the CA is sitting there going, what? When do you want me to do this? Do you know how much stuff I have to do? Are you kidding me? So there's a whole process. This relay race, if you will, is a process. Now, the frustration comes in when we're at the finish line and we're shouting, come on and say yes. And the patient's at the starting line going, what am I saying yes to? And if they say no before, you know, they've crossed the finish line, we get frustrated. And, oh, those darn people, they don't understand what they're saying no to, blah, blah, blah. Well, yes, that's true. They don't understand, and that's the problem. So what I'm going to challenge our callers to do is to get off the finish line, walk yourselves back to the starting line, link arms with your prospect, your potential new patient, and chart the course of the sales process together. Now, we know that word of mouth is much more effective than radio or print advertisement or one-on-one sales. They call it word of mouth. It's 2 times more effective than radio advertisements. It's 4 times more effective than personal selling, and it's 7 times more effective than print advertisements. Word of mouth. Why is it important? Well, Mark Zuckerberg of the biggest thing that we participate in, which is Facebook. He was the inventor of Facebook. He says that if you are going to get the attention of anybody, get the friend to tell the message. So if it's recommended by a friend, it is accepted. And you'll notice that Facebook is really a big, idea of that, is that if the friend refers it, it must be okay. So if your friend is going to tell you to go and see a chiropractor, you are going to spend statistically 2 times more money in that practice than if you were to just walk in off the street. So this word-of-mouth type of selling, or referrals, as we call it, is really valuable. And if we can master the process, we will have unlimited amounts of new patient referrals. How does that sound?
That sounds great. So give us an example, Kim. Walk us through it. You know, it's funny, as coaches, you and I, we can walk into a practice and we can identify, you know, what's working, what isn't. And, you know, you can go to your ultra-successful practice that's applied your tools, and you go to the average chiropractor. And I'm referring to average, meaning a practice that's stale and it's not growing. And you know, what do we need to do to actually get people to stay, pay, refer, and how do we increase the energy? So let me walk through, because you said two key words I agree with, need and value. And when you can really hit home on the needs that the patients need chiropractic and they can value it, they see how it's going to be valuable in their lives, how they're going to benefit from a lifetime of chiropractic care, those are two buttons that you have to really hit. So walk me through what you've instituted in a lot of these practices.
In order to ask for more referrals, we have to develop a referral mindset. I could tell you all the scripting in the world, but if you have a CA that is not 100% sold on what it is that you have envisioned for your mission, she's not going to be able to sell it. It's kind of like, you know, you're walking around at the mall and you see a 500-pound man who is selling weight loss supplements. He's at a kiosk and he's in front of all of these supplements. What's your initial feeling? Would you buy supplements from him?
Exactly.
Right? Well, you wouldn't, because he's not a great representation of what it is that he's selling. So they've done a lot of studies on how to sell and what makes a big impact on people during the sales process. And what I instruct my offices to do is to go back to the basics, go back to the beginning. What is it that you're trying to sell? Get really clear. So step one, get really clear on what it is that you're selling. Step two would be to get on board with what it is that you're selling on a personal level. So I come into practices all the time, and what I see is a chiropractor who is all fired up. He's running around. They're seeing 600 patient visits a week. He's on fire. I take one look at the staff. They look at me, and as I'm walking through, they're rolling their eyes. He's excited. They're rolling their eyes. What do you think the message is to the patient?
Yeah,
why are they rolling their eyes?
Yeah,
why are they rolling their eyes? Well, the reason why they're rolling their eyes is because they haven't keyed into the motivation. So this is really important. If your practice is set up to help everybody that's involved to reach their wins, or to reach their goals, then the success of the practice is now the tool to the dream lifestyle for everybody participating. So I would say goal setting is really important. If the chiropractor is excited and he's the only one that's winning every time a new patient is brought on board, the motivation at the front desk is going to do what?
If everyone's motivated, they're going to all be moving in the same direction.
Exactly, and that's what this is. Since it's a relay race, you know, we're looking at everybody to pull at the same speed, in the same focus, in the same direction. So having a team that is on board with the mission and feeling the wins at the same time, that's a team that's ready to exert extra effort towards achieving new patients. And referrals are obviously the best way, the very best way to bring in new patients. But again, it's a sales process, not a sales event. So when we talk about asking for referrals, it's just a nice way of saying we'd like you to institute a one-on-one word-of-mouth sales process. And I think that the disconnect comes into play when nobody's been trained how to do this. Wait a minute. Wait, you want me to ask what? When? I don't know. I feel a little uncomfortable. And I bet you there's a lot of CAs shaking their heads yes right now, because it's hard to ask when you don't know how to ask, you don't know when to ask, and you don't know what to ask. So I say let's go back to developing a referral mindset, and then by the end of this call, I will teach you the magic questions to ask. And I will also role play with you, Dr. Mike, so that our listeners can hear exactly how to ask for a referral. We'll get to that
Wonderful.
A little bit later, but first, let's talk about the referral mindset. Now, would you agree that mindset has a lot to do with selling?
Everything.
It has everything to do with it. Now, in order for us to be able to sell something, we have to be 100% sold on what we're selling. We have to provide a service that we're proud to share. If we're not behind it, we're not going to do it. Now, the man that's selling the supplements that's 500 pounds of her weight, and he's at the mall selling the supplements. Now, we don't know this, but he lost 500 pounds with these supplements. So at first glance, it looks like the product doesn't work. But that's how patients process information on the spot. So we have to look at a lot of things. When we have a new prospect entering our place of business, what is it that they're seeing? Are they seeing a happy, energetic, fit individual behind the front desk who's smiling? Because that's what, if we're just going to look at chiropractic care as a successful practice, then we would have to be a shining example of chiropractic in order to sell it effectively. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely.
So I would challenge the listeners then of this call to please write down, if you would, at least two things that you can do to help your appearance match the chiropractic message that you are trying to convey. Now, one thing is body posture. Obviously, posturing is extremely important. They've done some incredible studies about body posture and what comes across. It's nonverbal communication is what posture is. And we pick up 53% of the messages that we receive are nonverbal communication. So it is much more to sit up straight and smile and bat your eyes and be welcoming than you can even imagine. 53% of the message that you are conveying is made through body language. So I would encourage everybody listening to please just write down two ways that you can improve the first glance upon entering your practice. What is it that they're looking at, the patients are looking at when they enter? Is it a good representation of what it is that you're selling? Number two is to develop a referral mindset. You want to identify and be able to passionately communicate your own personal win with chiropractic. So if I'm communicating my story, obviously my passion comes through because my daughter's life was saved by chiropractic care. I identify with that on such a deep level that it just kind of oozes out of me. I don't really have to try much for that. It just comes across. Do you see what I mean?
Absolutely.
So I encourage our listeners to please also write down what makes it easy for you to passionately communicate your own personal win with chiropractic. And if you don't yet have your own personal win with chiropractic, then I encourage you to look around at your patient base. You know, Monday meetings are a great time to talk about the personal miracles that are happening within the practice. It happens all the time. You know, you're back with patients and the patients are saying, "Hey, Dr. Mike, oh my gosh, you know, my headaches are gone. I feel so much better." That's a perfect opportunity for you to say, "Great, make sure you tell Kimberly on your way out," because that's the type of win that we celebrate here at our office. So then now he goes back and he celebrates, "Hey, Kimberly, guess what? My headaches are gone. You know, this is the goal, is to celebrate, you know, headache-free days, and I'm having those." Then the CA has a chance now at this point to say, "Wonderful, I'm so glad to hear that, John Jones. That's amazing. Do you know anybody else that has headaches?" So asking for referrals, which is what I just did in kind of a little sneaky way, but I'm going to teach you guys how to do that at the end. When we ask for referrals, it should be a natural progression of the wins that we have established and also reminded the patient of. So the best time to ask for referrals is when?
At the moment of celebration. I mean, that's what I would be doing, on a high, right?
Exactly. That is the very best time to celebrate the win with the patient as you're celebrating. Let's expand the celebration and include other people that you know that may be suffering. I mean, that is a lot easier of a presentation to make than, do you know anybody at work that's suffering from headaches? You know, it's so boxed and so canned and so unnatural. You know, we have.
Well, you know, it's funny. It's funny you mention that, because I used to have an assistant, Cheryl, and she was amazing at the front desk. And she would always, she had this great smile, and she'd be high-fiving people when they came up with their miracles. And she would just grab a health pass and say, hey, let's share it with others. And she'd pass a health pass celebrating, connecting the two. So your promotions are your procedures, just as you said, it's in the process of. And she would be a practice builder from the front, and just a lot of energy and getting excited with people. We call that celebrating with the patient. So I see exactly where you're coming from, Kim.
Absolutely. So the celebration is a team effort. It's going back to the relay race. You know, the celebration starts back on the table with the doctor, but then it's passed to the patient to share with the CA. And now the CA is set up for the perfect shot, the perfect home run, if you will. But it is a team effort. So it's not just referrals are a multiple team sport. It's a multiple player sport and definitely a relay race. So now once you've identified your own personal win, you also need to identify why it's important to you to grow the practice at this time. Now, again, this goes back to when the chiropractors are celebrating. I want to talk to you about framing the situation and how we make our decisions. If you would, please just imagine yourself standing up, holding on to a gigantic picture frame that you can see right through. So it's framing your entire torso. And this frame is what you take with you outside. You're looking all throughout the world with this frame. Now, everything that you believe is, it's basically like goggles that you see through the world with. And it helps you to make your decisions and to shape your thoughts and ideas about certain things. Now, my frame, when I was growing up, my dad was a Vietnam vet. And all of the decisions that were made were extremely traditional medicine in nature. And chiropractic was looked down upon. So when I got into my car accident, I walked into the chiropractor's office with a medical frame. So I'm looking at everything through this medical lens, through my frame. And each person that comes into our office has a different frame. So it's really important, if we're going to have somebody to make a different decision that's outside of their box or outside of their frame, they have to be kind of thrown off a little bit out of their frame, so that they put the frame down for a second and step out from behind it and embrace a new way of thought. And the way that we do that is by asking questions. So I'm going to ask you a question, and let's just see what you say. All right, so can you imagine, Dr. Mike, what your practice would look like with a steady stream of new patient referrals? Can you imagine what your practice would look like with a steady stream of new patient referrals? What would it look like?
It would be packed. It would be amazing in here.
How would your life change?
I would be able to pay off my bills and hire a new team member and maybe get that website I've always wanted to get. It would be phenomenal. It would allow me to grow even more.
Exactly. So instead of a yes or no answer, you were able to step outside of the frame and start using your imagination to create yourself a new picture of what it could be like with a steady stream of new patient referrals. Well, when we're talking to our patients, we can ask the same type of questions to get them out of their box, to get them out of their framing. And here is one of the magic marketing questions that I promised you all. That's going to really make an impact on your patient referrals. Here we go. Can you imagine a life without physical limitations? Well, that's the first one. You're going to ask your patient, can you imagine a life without physical limitations, without these headaches, without this back pain? What's the first thing you would do if this problem was gone for good? So if someone were to ask me back when I had my car accident, can you imagine a life without these physical limitations? I would say, oh my gosh, yes, I wouldn't be so scared. I'm in labor every single day. I'm throwing up. I can't eat food. So I would be able to keep my baby alive and intact. It would be amazing. So that is now the motivation for choosing care. And you can see where that response would be a lot more powerful than, hey, Kim, do you want to get out of back pain? You see what I'm saying?
So you're essentially future pacing these patients and also tying that into their primary value.
Exactly. With two simple questions that gets them out of their framing and starts them down the path to benefit. So let me do these two questions again, because I'm going to bring another really powerful question in. So I promised two questions. I'm going to give you actually six. Okay, so can you imagine a life without physical limitations? Well, yes, I can. Oh, my gosh. Well, what's the first thing you would do if this problem was gone for good? Well, if I'm a grandma and I every Wednesday used to go out on the playground with little Jimmy, and one day I was pushing him on the playground and my hip went out and he got stuck in the swing and I had to ask Stranger Danger to come and help him get out of the swing set for me. Now I have missed out on 6 Wednesday visits with my grandson, and that's what I live for. Then that's the first thing I would do if this problem was gone. I would get back to the playground with little Jimmy. So then, well, who would you bring with you on this journey? Little Jimmy. So you want to ask, what's the first thing you would do if this problem was gone for good? And who would you bring with you? So here is the million-dollar question right here. Who would you bring with you? Because what does that do? What does that do?
You're basically asking them what their life would be like with their closest friend.
Exactly. Or relative or grandson. Well, great. Yes, I would get back to what's really important. And that's what these questions are trying to do, is pull out the motivating factor. So when we do celebrate the win, and this all has to happen in the very beginning of the introductions, all of this stuff has to take place in the beginning so that you find out what that motivation is. Now, little Jimmy is absolutely grandma's motivation. But when she calls the front desk, she says, I was at the playground, I fell down, and I hurt my hip. That's how she frames it, right? But the motivation, the reason why she called, is because she wants to get back with her grandson. Now, you can talk about her visit two ways. You could talk about it from the pain perspective. Let's get you out of this pain. Let's help you with your hip. You know, that must be feeling awful, which is what a lot of coaches tell you to do. They tell you to, you know, push down on the pains, amplify the pain so that the patients realize that they're in pain. Well, I'm here to say that obviously the patients realize they're in pain or else they wouldn't be calling you. There's a motivation under there that's 10 times more powerful than pain, and that's little Jimmy. So if the questioning is right and you pull this out in the beginning, everything from that point will be framed around a mutual goal of helping grandma to get back on the playground with little Jimmy. And how that is going to transform your office, it's miraculous. Now you're not chasing grandma around to pay her bill, because how much value does she put on those Wednesdays with little Jimmy?
A lot.
What amount of money would she pay to get back on the playground with little Jimmy?
And she just basically increased the value, so they'll pay anything and pay what any pricing, travel, whatever distance to get the results. I see where
exactly.
You're going.
Exactly. Yep, exactly. And now once we accomplish this mission together, and just keep in mind, CAs, that if you're trying to get grandma to show up on time for her appointments and she's not showing up, imagine what the phone call is going to be like from this point forward once you know what the motivation is for her. Hi, Grandma, it's great to hear your voice. Yes, boy, we sure miss you in the office. you know, I have a note here from Dr. Mike, and he wanted me to remind you that next Wednesday is coming along, and we want you to get on that playground with little Jimmy. Can you come in on Thursday? How motivated is she going to be to show up on Thursday? Versus, we want to get you out of pain.
Makes sense, doesn't it? So you're bringing everything back to their primary value, which is phenomenal.
It is all back to the primary value. And also the question when I asked, who would you bring with you? What's the first thing you would do if this problem was gone for good? And who would you bring with you? Now, the person that they want to bring with them, it's either going to be, you know, obviously somebody that's very important to them. Now, that makes it easy to find out once they are experiencing the win. So now grandma is so happy. Her hip is back to normal. She understands the value of chiropractic care and the value of prevention from this point forward, because we want to keep her now on the playground with little Jimmy every Wednesday. So it is also the motivation to continue chiropractic care long term because of the fear that she might not be able to be with little Jimmy again. So it's easy now, once that has been established, to say, and she's experienced the win, yay, I get to go and push little Jimmy on the swing this Wednesday. I'm so excited. Thank you, Dr. Mike. And Dr. Mike says, make sure you tell Kimberly on the way out, because these miracles are what we live for at Advanced Chiropractic. Great. So now grandma's sharing her story with enthusiasm, with love, with joy, in the middle of your waiting room to Kimberly, your awesome CA. And Kimberly is sharing in the win. She's excited. They're conversing. They're celebrating. And at that point is when you would say, has little Jimmy been checked yet? Has he ever been to see a chiropractor? How many times has he fallen out of that swing? You know, with all that you've learned about chiropractic care, this might be the time to share it with your entire family. You know, we are marketed to over 30,000 times, both visually and verbally, throughout the day. Every single day, 30,000 marketing messages are coming into us. Because of technology, everything has been overdone, I believe. And how do you feel when you realize that you're being marketed to, Dr. Mike?
Because I know it and I see it, sometimes it's overwhelming.
Yes, that is the general consensus, that marketing is overwhelming. 83% of affluent shoppers do not like to be asked for referrals. That's an important statistic. 83% of affluent consumers do not like to be asked. They feel uncomfortable when asked for a referral. So what does that mean? That means that everybody's tired of being marketed to. So this brings me to the next point. And I'm going to share later some more magic marketing questions, but I want to get to this point. I would like to talk about the smile versus the sports bottle, which is what I'm calling it. It's this interesting thing that happened this past week with one of my clients. He is an associate. I work with a lot of associates. We have head doctors who are busy, you know, seeing 600 patients a week, and they bring in an associate because they're super busy, and they are not doing such a great job at training on processes and procedures, and the associate is lost. He's drawing a salary, but he's not producing. So I have a lot of clients in this situation, and I am challenged with working with the associate, getting them trained, getting them up to speed, and getting them outside marketing. And one of my clients calls and says, Kimberly, I don't know what to do. I said, well, what's going on? Tell me the situation. He says, okay, here it is. He works at a clinic that's inside of a 50,000 square foot YMCA in the middle of Dallas. And it's surrounded by high-rise buildings. There's oil companies and big businesses surrounding this metropolitan area. And he had just moved into the building. He's trying to, the doctor purchased the building for him, and or the spot for him, and, you know, he's trying to grow it on his own. So he says, Kimberly, I heard that every Tuesday and Thursday they're having a basketball league meets at 6:30 in the morning, and they're attorneys and big-time businessmen. What do I do? And I said, well, what are the procedures of your office? And he said, well, we have a sports bottle, and inside of the sports bottle, there is a drip towel, you know, for working out, a sweat towel, and there's a pencil and lip balm. I said, oh, okay. I said, now imagine yourself with that group playing basketball. And this particular doctor, he went through college on a scholarship for basketball. So he knows his basketball. He loves it, but he's been out of touch with it. He hasn't played for a while. But he wanted to get back into it, so it was a natural fit. So I said, just imagine you're with that group. You're out there at 6 o'clock, 6:30 in the morning, and you're sweating it out with your buddies, and all of a sudden, this guy walks up with a sports bottle in his hand. He says, hi, I'm a chiropractor from upstairs. Here's a sports bottle. What does the group think of that chiropractor walking up?
Oh, you can imagine.
I mean, you're a guy, right? You're like, what is this guy doing? You know, get out of here, right? It's embarrassing. That's the way that we're taught to market. Grab your promotional materials and walk outside and hand them out. You know, and I always say, that you never, never in marketing do you want to go through the front door. You always want to take the side door. So I started working with him, and I said, listen, I said, just, you know, anything that you're doing with marketing, just look at it this way. Imagine that the shoe is on the other foot. I mean, we're dealing with real live people here, you know, real live relationships. Marketing is a journey. It's not a one-time event. So let's think about this opportunity. So we worked a new idea and a new concept, and so I asked him to just simply show up. Just simply show up, start, you know, with a basketball in hand, and go out and start playing by yourself. You know, there's another side of the court. Just start playing by yourself. Show him some of your moves. Show him some of your moves. Shine in the basketball spotlight. And so he did. And what do you think happened?
He got a new patient?
He was asked by the group to come and join. Hey, man, you want to come play with us? So he said, sure. So now he is a part of the group. And he said, okay, well, when do I tell him I'm a chiropractor? I said, you don't. You don't tell him you're a chiropractor. We're going through the side door. When somebody falls down, when somebody grabs their neck, when somebody inevitably says, ouch, that's when you make your move. And you say, just, you're a new patient detective, and you say, oh, my gosh, I see you grabbing your arm. What's going on? I'm a chiropractor. I have a practice right upstairs. Oh, man, yeah, well, I've had this injury for so long, and I didn't know what to do. Well, fantastic. You know what? I'm having a workshop on Wednesday. It's for sports injuries. I'd love to have you come. Great. It's Wednesday. So marketing, we have to do through the side door. When we're asking for referrals, it's exactly the same way. And I just want to remind people that are listening, marketing is an 8-step decision-making process. Do you know what the decision-making process is? How many people knew that there was 8 steps to the decision-making process? I always hear there's 2 steps, yes and no. It's a lot more going on psychologically than we even know. So it does help us to understand and get real with our marketing efforts when we understand what the patient is going through when we ask for referrals. So I'd like to share the decision-making process with you. The first thing that happens is that people identify a problem. So, oh my gosh, I am on the basketball court and I rolled my ankle for the 10th time this week and it is completely unstable. It's killing me. I know I have a problem. I tried to walk it off all week, and it is swollen, and I can't even hardly put on my shoe. I've identified I have a problem. And my neck is also out of control, and I've had a migraine for 2 weeks. So, great. Now you've identified that you have a problem. What's interesting about this is that we don't all come to that conclusion at the same time. You probably have had patients come into your practice that have the posture of Attila the Hun, you know, just hunched over, you know, shoulders off, neck sticking out like a turtle. And they don't notice anything. Have you had that where people, they have the most horrendous body posture, they kind of hunch over, they walk in.
Oh, yeah. Every chiropractor has them.
Right. So they haven't even gotten really to the solid identification of the problem, which is the very first step. So now you can see where there would be frustration if they haven't even reached the first phase, and you're all the way at the finish line saying, hurry up and sign up for care, why don't you? It becomes, instead of professional selling, it becomes professional pushing or pulling. And that's where the frustration comes in. So we have to make sure that they've identified the problem. That's why x-rays are so good for this process. We can quite easily show them, here's normal and here's you. You know, you're not supposed to look like a turtle. This is how you're supposed to look. So x-rays really helped with identifying the problem. Number two is they have to establish the decision criteria. So what that means is that it's based on their individual experience, observation, and comprehensive ideal on healthcare. So are they stuck within the healthcare model? Are they attached to their insurance card like death? You know, they're holding on to it. They're white-knuckling their insurance card. They want to use it. What is it that is going to be the criteria that they make the decision upon? What's important to them? That's step two, to decide what's important to them. Number three, they have to weigh the decision based on that criteria. So what's really important to me here? Is the doctor and his credentials really important? Is the personal connection really important? Well, I can tell you that the number one thing that patients are looking for, according to our statistics, is a doctor who knows what they're doing. So professionalism is number one. And that ties in with the number one fear that patients have, which is if they go see a chiropractor, they're afraid that they're going to get hurt worse. They've heard the rumors out there. They're afraid the neck popping sound is really tied in with that. And I believe that they're afraid of the popping sound because of all those horrendous movies that are out there where, you know, the villain creeps up behind the person and wrenches their neck. You hear a loud pop and then it's instant death on the ground. We have to fight against that perception. So that's one of the biggest fears that our patients have, is that they're going to get hurt worse by rotation of the neck. So that's the number one fear. Number one desire is professionalism. And if you're professional and you know what you're doing, you're not going to wrench my head clean off. That's basically what they're thinking. And then, you know, we have a system actually with our intake that asks the top three motivational factors right off the bat. And that's really important within our intake process. So we ask the number one pain, we ask the number one fear, we ask the number one desire so that we know what we're working with. And those are the top three motivational factors for both human beings and animals. So we, human beings are not that far away from survival mode in animal thinking. So number four, that we already went to number three, weighs decision criteria. Number four, we generate alternatives. So, okay, well, I'm going to see a chiropractor, but what else could I potentially do? Well, this guy's going to cost me $5,000. Maybe I could try acupuncture. Maybe I just need a really good solid massage. Yeah, they're going to start weighing alternatives. Step five is evaluating the alternatives. So once they're generated in their mind, then they're going to start doing research on all the other things that they could do instead of chiropractic care. What would it cost in time, money, and results is the reason. That's what they're trying to determine when they're weighing alternatives. Then the sixth step and the eighth step decision-making process is choosing the best alternative. So once they've evaluated their alternatives. Now they're going to make a choice based upon the, and the decision is based upon their personality style and how you as an office were able to convey the benefits and value of your specific brand of chiropractic care. What makes you unique and special? So one of the other things I'm going to ask our listeners to do is get with your team and write down a list of benefits and values as long as you can go. I mean, benefits and values look like this. Why would I travel past 60 other chiropractic offices to make it to your office? Dr. Mike, what are some of the values and benefits of visiting you as opposed to the competitor?
Well, I'll guarantee it's not the free parking and that we're nice people. That's a lot of doctors do. So I'm gonna promote any and everything that's a benefit for the patient.
Exactly. Exactly. And also given that patients are most afraid of your professionalism or lack thereof, your credentials are really important to the patient when they're making a purchasing decision. So credentials need to be displayed openly in waiting rooms where all people can see it before they come in to go through the process. They need to have their fears alleviated before they go through the process, because it's virtually impossible to make a yes decision when you have questions still roaming around in your mind. And this is very clear to see when we go on an automobile dealership and we have kind of a salesman that reeks of cigarettes and McDonald's, and, you know, he just came in from a smoke break and, hi, here's a Maserati, you know, you want to go for a test drive. I mean, the salesperson is the one who is delivering the confidence. So that's why it's really important for us to break down as many barriers and fears as we possibly can before we get to the win. And once we have the win, then we can ask for the referral. So let me finish the eight-step decision-making process, because we were at step six, which was choosing the best alternative, and that is the benefits and values list that I'm asking everybody to please write. And, you know, free parking, you know, if parking is a big deal like it is in San Francisco, that may be a very big benefit. The two biggest things that people are trying to get under control right now are what? Time and money. Time and money. And this is one of the first times in history where we're seeing the pendulum shift of importance, where time is almost more important to people than money. Do you see where that's true in your own practice?
Yeah, absolutely.
So the benefits of why I should be spending my time, why should I stop, why should I miss little Susie's soccer practice this time because I have to come to your to get adjusted? What's the benefit? What's in it for me? So choosing the best alternative is based on the benefits and values. And then step seven is implementing the decision. So once they have weighed all the alternatives, once they have put it together in their mind that this is the way for them to get healthy and to reach their objectives, to get back and see little Jimmy on the swing set, then they're going to say yes or no. But you can see all the steps that we've had to go through to get to that decision. And that is the relay race that we've been discussing. Instead of being at the finish line yelling, just say yes already, finish it, we've actually stopped that, walked back to the finish line, and helped them through each and every one of these processes. Now they've said yes. Now there's the eighth step. And this is the part where when you're asking for referrals, you need to really be keen and aware. Step eight is evaluating the decision. And results are weighed against inconvenience versus investment. So when we're talking about fees and payments, we should no longer use those words ever. Right now, because of the environment that we're in and people are go, 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 we need to be talking about health investments, the amount of time that you're willing to invest, the amount of money that you're willing to invest in your health. That's what we're talking about. So they will be evaluating the decision to say yes based on what they're receiving as far as convenience and investment value. It goes back to value again. So now that we know that every single time that they are coming into our office, they are on step 8, evaluating their decision. So if we're going to keep patients long-term, we need to remember, and if we're going to be able to ask for referrals because of their wins, we need to remember to that they're evaluating their decision to come into our practice each and every time they show up. So this is why we need to constantly keep referring back to the benefits and values that each person is receiving. You know, table talk is very crucial here. You know, we don't have time to waste our table talk on how's the weather. You know, if we are reminding ourselves that there's a step 8, every single time they show up, they're evaluating whether they're spending appropriate time and money in our practice. We need to utilize that time to remind them why they're there. So ask questions about little Jimmy. Ask questions about the playground. Ask questions about her progress. Remind and celebrate the wins every time she has one and encourage her to share it with your office. And that will help to make step 8 brilliant. Now, I see that we're at 4:52 my time, 7:52 your time. Do we have any questions? I could talk for 2 days on this subject. So
I know we can go all night, Kim. So let's just open up for a few Q&A, and then as I'm opening up, a lot of people here on mute, Kim. Why don't you give all the listeners your website, and you have a few goodies there, which we're going to send instructions in the replay. So if doctors want to just look at the email that comes out tomorrow, we'll have some instructions on how to get I guess you have some videos and some training you want to give the doctors. Is that correct, Kim?
Yes, I do. I have 2 videos that you absolutely have to see. It's about body mirroring. Now, we haven't talked about that yet, so I'll talk about it real quick. When we're talking about nonverbal communication, what we're trying to do is bond with the patient in 3 minutes or less. We need to try to bond with the patient. And the reason why we bond with patients is because people buy from people they like. And that's the bottom line. If you're comfortable with the doctor, you're comfortable with the staff, the team, then you are, I believe it's 25 times more likely to purchase and say yes to long-term care. So bonding is critical, and body language helps us to mirror a person, and they feel much more comfortable much more quickly. And there's a couple of videos that I put up on my website that show you the power of body mirroring. And so those will be on the website. I have my whole section, Unlocking the Secrets to Massive New Patient Referrals, I'm going to give to you guys. And the way that you'll do that is go to www.chirorockstar.com. And what you're going to do is you're going to register. It's free, completely free. Register as a user. Then your information will come back. I'll approve you as a register. And then you'll have Unlocking the Secrets to Massive New Patient Referrals. You'll have the videos. And I have a social economy paper here, a research paper for you to look at. And then all of the steps, everything that we've talked about today and more will be on this portion of the site.
Excellent. All right, so the lines are open if any doctor or CA has a question for Kim. Now is your opportunity. So just say your name, where you practice, and pose your question.
Don't be shy. Come on, you guys.
That was the first one, right?
Hi, Kim. It's Dr. Mike Pastina from Thunder Bay, Ontario.
Hi, Dr. Mike.
Welcome, Mike.
Hey, guys. Kim, I wanted to ask you this question, please. I had a patient in today who said, you know, you've really helped with my headaches. I feel fantastic, you know. And she's a hairdresser. And she's telling me that the girl working beside her has constant headaches and she's in a lot of pain. And she was involved in a car accident as well. And she's seeing another chiropractor. I don't know the other person's name. And she said, and she's been seeing him for almost a year, and she's got chronic headaches. He has done nothing to help her with the headaches. How would I go about asking her to give my card for referral with that? Because obviously we practice two different methods, myself and the other chiropractor. He does basically just chiropractic manipulation, which I understand is great. We also involve a lot of exercise therapy, myofascial release, active release technique. So how would I approach that? Or what would you recommend I do to give her my card to get her to maybe refer tastefully?
Tastefully, and that's always the hardest part, because people, unless they are 100% on board with what it is that you've done for them, which it sounds like she is, they're going to be a little nervous. And public speaking is always hard, especially if you're coming in as an expert making a referral. And that's basically the position that we're putting our people into when we ask them to step out on our behalf. There are three levels of referrals. There's a promotional referral, which takes place when a patient gives us permission to use their name as a testimony for the practice, and the patient is now actively promoting the practice to the patient's own close circle of influence. So that's what you would be asking her to do, is give you a promotional referral. The second level of that is a facilitated referral, and that happens when the promoter arranges a face-to-face introduction. That's a little bit harder to get. And then the third level of referral, which everybody wants, but it's the hardest, is the facilitated close. And that takes place when the sale happens prior to the prospect being contacted by our team. So like there was a certificate and it was just sold, you had nothing to do with it, and they came in off of that. So that's the best. When you have what you're trying to do with this particular situation, what I would do, since she works at a salon where more than likely everybody there is experiencing some type of issues and pain, much like dentists do and their teams, I would offer to have a stylist symposium and create a special informative evening specifically for stylists and ask her if you could have it at her place of business and ask if that would be something that her friends would like to attend, because there's a ton of salons in your area, I'm sure, that you could utilize and market to, if that's an area that you want to do. You want to go in through the side door, remember, never through the front. So what you're asking her to do, simply what I would say is, well, great. You know, since you're having so many wonderful things happen for you, I would love to invite your friend to come in and see me. You know, at our office, it's great because the introductory evaluation is always free, and then we can take it from there. There's no obligation, and if she wants to proceed with an evaluation and an exam, we have a very important patient or a VIP certificate that we could give to her that would help take care of some of the upfront costs. So would you be willing to share this VIP certificate with her? So would you be willing to share this VIP certificate with her and see what she says? And if she says, you know, if she gives you like a little pushback, then say, hey, it sounds like there's a lot of people that may benefit from a workshop specifically tailored for your industry. Be interested in something like that.
Okay.
That makes sense?
Yeah, it does. Yeah, thank you.
You're welcome. You never want to bash, as much as we are tempted to, we never want to bash another practitioner. It just makes us look bad. So what you know, sometimes when I hear, oh, I've gone to this person for 10 years and I'm not getting any good results, I say, oh my goodness. Well, you know, it's interesting because at our office, we provide unique treatment plan individual. So the results that you get are going to be tremendously different at our office. So you want to shine your spotlight on the benefits and values that you're providing. Never take away from someone else.
Yeah, I always compliment the other chiropractors. When they mention the name of the chiropractor, I say, you know what? He's an excellent chiropractor. You're in very good hands with him. You know what? We just offer something a little bit different here as well if you want to look at some different avenue. And I go usually with that angle. You know,
mm-hmm.
They want the referral to us with their friend who's not getting results with this other chiropractor. So I never, ever trash my other colleagues at all. I always tell them they're very good chiropractors. They're excellent at what they do. We just offer different services, and we do things a little bit different here.
That's perfect. She's perfect. Perfect. Yep, I like it.
All right, let's take one more question, Kim. So any doctor, say, that has a question for Kim, now's your opportunity.
Hi, my name is MA, and I'm a CA at Seymour Chiropractic in North Van, BC. Hello.
Welcome. Welcome.
Hi. So I'm working at a smaller practice. I'm the only front desk reception and CA to Dr. Pierce, as well as reception to a naturopath in the same office. So I'm just wondering, I guess, what I could do a little bit differently in terms of reaching out to the patients for referrals and marketing strategies. I'm always very upbeat and personal with the patients, and we do have a recall system as well. So I talk to the patients every time they finish an appointment and ask them when they would like me to call or when they will reschedule.
Okay,
so it sounds
so
like you're stuck. She's stuck in that clinical loop all the time. So how can you get some promotion in there as well?
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any special events that are coming up?
No.
Okay, so I found that the very best way to get patients to refer others is through special events that take place in the office. And one of the events that's going really well right now is my Happy Life series. And it's a topic on how to have a happy life. One of the things that we're doing next month is it's a taste of the city. So wherever you are, it's a taste of Dallas. It's a healthy taste of Dallas or a healthy taste of Huntington Beach. And we're doing a wine tasting, which you don't have to do wine. You can do a juicing. But there's a lot of people that will stop what they're doing to come for a free wine tasting, free dark chocolate, and free organic fruit sampling from a local restaurant. So if you had an event that was fun that you can't wait to get to, and here's also the rule of thumb, you are going to attract people just like you. We rarely attract opposites except for in love. When we're in business, we attract like attracts like. So if you guys come together and you have a group and you come up with, first of all, you should survey your patients to see what types of events and topics they would like to hear, because your patient base is important and you want to be happy first. So survey your patients, find out what type of topics of events they or subjects they might be interested in. Throw down a couple of your own ideas and see how it goes. Pick the one that is the most popular and include your community in supporting that event. Once you pick a date for the event, then you can go around and create a flyer, take it to your community supporters, tell everybody you're having a special event at your office and you're looking to create community networks, and you'd be happy to promote their product or service within your practice on the week of the event. And then would they please come and display what they have? We have wine clubs here that, you know, once a month you get a new case of wine, or and they will come out and they'll sample it for free. So that's awesome. You can ask for organic wine if you want. And this isn't an event to get drunk at, you guys. I mean, this is just a little sampling, you know, just a little taste. Get everybody out of their framework and get them into something new and exciting. And it's also a perfect opportunity to bring a friend. I mean, I'm a busy mom. I'm a busy business owner. I travel. I speak. I'm all over the world. And I need something that's going to rock my socks in order for me to stop and schedule to go do something new that's not business or family related. So I don't know about you, but if I heard that there was a Happy Life event and they were serving organic wines and dark chocolate and organic fruits, I'd be there.
Totally.
And I would take a friend.
Food sells. All right. Hey, Kim, one last time. Let's give your contact information so the doctors can go to your website, and we're going to send those out in the replay to everybody that missed this so they can actually get the freebies, and we'll send a link right to your website. So your website, one more time?
It's chirorockstar.com.
And when the doctors and the CAs go there, you can log in. There's some free videos that you can actually download, and we'll send those instructions to you for the login process. So, Kim, I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for being on this CA Black Belt call. You are truly a ninja when it comes to chiropractic and helping doctors. And for those of you who are not familiar, please go to Kim's website and look at the freebies. and you get a chance, use her services, stay connected with her, follow her around, go to her events when she's at Parker or the other events that she also teaches at. So, Kim, thank you once again for being on this call and for sharing your wealth of wisdom.
Thank you so much for having me, and I hope you guys all go out there and rock it.
All right, and for those of you who are on our website, www.chiropractic-masters.com, you'll see a new website come out in the future, and we'll be showcasing Kim on there as one of our affiliate speakers as well. So until our next CA call or Power Talk or Master Talk, guys, keep practicing with passion. As always, thanks for being on tonight.